We are back in the studio one last time to talk about the last landmark, landmark number 9 called Quest. I'm Bill Delvo, along with two friends who have joined me before, Carter and Daniel. And since both of you are in on the conversation on the first landmark, it seems fitting to have you in for this last one. So thank you guys for coming in one more time. It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Let's go ahead and jump in. Quest. What do I mean by this is a landmark? Well, every story, every book, every movie has a main character, the hero, going on some type of quest. It's a journey to get something or find something or even become something. The character never knows what he's getting into when he starts out, and there are conflicts and obstacles all along the way. And if the story is to have a happy ending, the hero completes the quest and along the way finds that he has changed in the process. This basic literary structure, I think, is saying something about the way our lives should be, that they should be something like a quest. But this whole idea gets really dangerously close when we open up the Bible and find the same pattern. Here we see God calling out fallen men and women to Him, and then He inevitably calls them out on a quest. They're asked to do something specific for the benefit of others, but ultimately for the expansion of God's kingdom. Now, the quest may seem ridiculous sometimes in the scriptures or even impossible, but nonetheless they're asked to go and simply trust God to show up and make the way plain. Abraham and Moses are two classic examples of this pattern. But the Bible is not just a book of ancient stories. The same God is working today, and the pattern holds true for our lives. When Jesus redeems us and calls us to Himself, there is always something He wants us to do for His kingdom. This is our quest. This is our venture with Him. It will be something that will scare us probably and yet exhilarate us at the same time. It is something that will use our gifts and yet something that will call out things in us we never knew we were capable of. But mainly, as we take the quest, we will find ourselves radically changed in the process. For the quest is our unique role in the story God is telling, and it becomes the defining purpose of our lives, our sense of destiny, and what we were meant to do with our lives. So finding our quest and doing it is what's going to give ultimate meaning to our lives. So let's get this conversation rolling. Let's start not with the quest idea in terms of the kingdom building, but let's just start with adventures in general. Let's talk about a story or tell an adventure that has been scary yet exhilarating, that has called out things in us that we didn't know we were capable of. And we'll use these stories as sort of metaphors for the bigger quest. So who wants to start this one out? Well, I'm sure we've got them.
Well, I will jump in. I have to think, very often these kinds of stories, I'll get invited out into something and I'll really have no clue what I'm getting myself into. Yeah. For example, 2 or 3 years ago, a group invited me to climb Mount Rainier. Now, I've climbed mountains before, but the mountains I've climbed are long walks.
Right. This is a technical climb.
Yes, it is. It's more technical. It's just a lot more intense. And I had no clue what I was getting into. And so we...
Would you have gone if you knew?
No, and that's generally my life. Blissful ignorance, moving towards terror afterwards. But anyway, it was quite an adventure all along the way. And it ended up, the quest, if you will, for me with that mountain was an internal one. I mean, wow. I had to beat something, or I had to win against something in me that wanted to quit.
Was that fear, or was it just fatigue?
You know, I think I was too clueless to fear. I will tell you that. But it was fatigue. Mm-hmm. That was easily the most difficult, strenuous thing I've ever done. There was some danger in it, certainly more danger than I've ever been in.
Sure.
Or risk. And it was intense for a long period of time.
Like it was hours up the mountain.
Yeah, actually a couple of days. And it was very steep and we were tied together. And, you know, our guide was, in so many ways, it was a mind game for him to get us,
right,
keep us moving.
Right,
because I needed encouragement.
Yeah.
I really, really did.
And you made it to the top.
You know what I needed? I needed somebody to call something out in me I didn't know was there.
Yeah.
As you said, it tells me I don't want to go on a quest alone.
Yeah.
I need somebody else in the adventure.
Yeah, it gets too hard.
It really does.
It gets
too
hard.
I'll never get as far alone as I could get with somebody else.
That's a great point.
So that's been helpful for me.
Yeah. Well, mine is there's, you know, a number that sort of I can sort of come to mind when I think about this, but one is that really sticks with me is one that I took with Daniel here, and that was we took seven high school young men on a fishing adventure in the Quetico Wilderness, which is the Canadian side of the Boundary Waters, and I'd never been on anything like this, and although I'd been on some of the fishing adventures before, but nothing like this. And so the basic idea is that you are taken out into the, with these canoes and, you know, seven days worth of food. And basically you're out in it. I mean, and they basically kind of give you a map of a loop you could take, but basically you're on your own to figure things out and just be back here in 7 days. And we were supposed to have like a full morning or full afternoon briefing with the man who was in charge of the whole overseeing it and giving us our food, and you know, he knows the area well. Well, through a series of mishaps with the planes, anyway, we got in there very late, and we only had probably, I imagine it was a 30-minute briefing, and they were literally rushing us out trying to get us on the water before darkness fell and we could get to the first campsite. And I can remember, Daniel knows this story well, I can remember the guy just laid this big map out and then he just started drawing campsites. You can go here, 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 here. Watch out for this, watch out for that. And he just throwing all this information out there. And I could just feel the fear just from this deep place coming up here going, I can't do this. And I could just feel the panic coming in. And it's just not me. It's like, we're getting ready to take seven young men we're responsible for out in this thing for 7 days, and when you're out in it, you're just out in it. You just have to figure it out. And it was, I remember getting on that water just going, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And Daniel was there just helping me along, and you know, we got there, we were wet the first night, but I remember the second day, the wind was so bad, literally three of the guys freaked in a canoe and it almost tipped. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And it was, we were still so unsettled, but by about the third day, we sort of got into the rhythm of fishing and camping and portaging the canoes and, you know, lifting those incredibly heavy canoes. Anyway, the whole experience was one of learning that there are all sorts of things that we're capable of doing that we don't think of we can do beforehand. And I remember just coming off that experience just so glad I did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's but great. Starting in such a faltering way. So that's certainly one that comes to mind.
Well, I remember that well. And, you know, in your book, you mentioned going to Alaska, which was the trip you and I took the year before.
Right.
There might have been 2 years before. I have a little different spin on it. I generally so glamorize adventure that I don't have the fear of not being able to do it when I probably should. You know, I just dive in. And then I get into it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what have I signed up for? Once it's too late, you know. And so, like, when we went to Alaska, you mentioned in your book the rafting fiasco and adventure. But then, you know, the day before that, if you remember, we had looked for Sam and couldn't find him.
Yeah.
And so we decided to hike the river. And we, and I was certain that around the next bend,
positive,
we were going to find the 100 pot of fish. And we hiked, it seemed like forever, in this, you know, sinking sand, and it was really difficult. And you asked us a question on that trip one night around the campfire. You said, what do you love about adventures and what do you hate about adventures?
Yeah.
And what I love about adventures is feeling so masculine and so adventuresome.
Yes.
And what I hate is how hard it is, because I love being comfortable.
Right.
And
and you get this push pull with this.
Yeah,
stuff.
And it, honestly, if I thought about it realistically before I went, I probably wouldn't go on any of these, because When I get into it, it is so hard.
Right.
Another story that comes to mind, some friends of mine and I, years ago, we hiked the Collegiate Peaks in Colorado, and we backpacked and we camped there for about 3 days, and wow. I was very ill prepared. I wore old basketball shoes. I remember my feet got absolutely torn up, wow. and it was so exhausting. And I remember when we finally got to the top, I actually just started crying, and I wasn't even sure why. I don't know if it was just the relief or that I had done it. And you know, when I got to the other side, I always feel so thankful that I did it. But there's something about adventure that is so hard.
Yes.
If it's a real adventure.
It is.
That when I get in it, I'm like, I wish that I was a little bit more like Rambo, where every time I shot the gun, you know, the enemy would fall, and every time they shoot at me, they miss me somehow. But that doesn't seem to be how it goes.
That doesn't seem to be the way it works. You know, these stories are all great metaphors for the quest, sort of the life, our sense of destiny that we're to have with our lives, we have something we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Because it gives us a sense of direction and purpose and focus that we need so desperately as men. And that's what we love about it. But it's hard. It's just hard, and it's scary. So let's talk a little bit about when you think about God calling you out on a quest, what does it make you feel? What sort of runs through your mind? What do you think about also?
Mm-hmm. I think, I have to say, in fairness, this whole language, you guys, is new to me. I think this kind of thing has happened before, but I didn't really know it was happening, and I sure couldn't put words like this to what was happening. And in that way, I found your book, for example, extremely helpful, Bill, because I can actually look back and see much more clearly things that God quests and He's called me out on. So, for example, in my vocation, He actually called me out to start something new. And, you know, much of it involved not knowing what I was getting into. And I do wonder if I really did, would I have ever done it? But there was a definite sense of God calling me out into something that I knew was going to be larger than my own capabilities. And I really like that. I like that because, you know, I just want to be involved in something larger. I don't want to be the ultimate limiting factor.
Right, yeah.
I love to be, it's sort of, you know, latching onto the back of God Himself and going for a ride.
It's almost that sense of transcendence, like this is bigger than me, larger than me. And, you know, you feel pulled up into it versus constructing yourself.
Into it. And I love that.
Yeah.
I do.
And that's so different than when we construct our own stories back to the landmark world. Those are so limiting and constricting and
that's
confining.
A great way to say it too, Bill. Construct my own stories.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something that happened for me, you guys. It was really cool. Do y'all remember the first Star Wars set, 1977?
Oh, yeah.
The best Star Wars. Could we get that down? So for posterity, put this on the... But anyway, I think that's exactly what happened to Luke Skywalker.
Right.
He was clueless. Knew he was limited. And then suddenly he was called up into something much larger. He had no idea.
Right.
Except the calling was there.
Just the gut to go.
And it was awesome. And you know what eventually ultimately got him up into the larger story was the intimate relationship with Obi-Wan.
His mentor.
Yeah.
His mentor called him out.
Called him out. And so he went because I believe the strength of relationship, the faith in Obi-Wan into this larger story.
Yeah.
And that, that movie resonated with me on a core level. And frankly, back then I had no clue why.
Oh, you just knew it was right, yeah.
It's a great quest.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to say that I have the deep push-pull about quests, because I can remember in college days I want to know, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, I just had this deep ache. I just, just so deep. It's like, I want a purpose. I want a sense of, like that transcendence. And yet, I wanted my life to be safe, controllable, and comfortable. And this stuff vied in me for many years, where I wanted to construct my own story, but yet I wanted something bigger. And it just, you know, and one side would win a little bit and the other side would win. I never could put words to what was going on, but it was always this sort of push-pull, this deep tension. And one of the things that I've realized, if I'm really going to keep entering deeper and deeper the quest God has for me, it is about always letting go of my own story, walking through and facing fears, and watching God rescue me, bring in other people in my life, and watching Him do something bigger than I could have ever imagined.
Amen.
And that's the story of the Bible. That's the story of church history. I mean, but that's the process. And then you're just like, I'm so glad I did it. But on the front end, it just looks like impossible, or it looks like I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there's this, you know, initial fear, then breakthrough, and then, you know, I'm so glad I did it. So that's when I think about God's quest. Those are, that pattern recycles itself over and over again for me.
Hmm.
So
I think for me, I so resonate with the nation of Israel when they were in the wilderness on their quest from freedom to the promised land. And, you know, I can imagine how excited they must have been early on that God was setting them free and promised this. And then what felt like the drudgery and how tired they got of the manna.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at one point they're complaining. They talk about how they enjoyed onions and leeks, you know, while they were slaves. But
right.
But they wanted to go back to that because it was comfortable.
Controllable.
It was controllable.
Yeah.
The food was better, apparently. And it's like, you know, I find for myself that there's this tension still in me that I can identify that, you know, feeling there is something that God is pulling me towards, but it does require some monotony at times.
Mm-hmm.
That is God's provision, that I want it to look differently. And it's like, I, at any point, you know, I can feel that temptation of kind of wanting to go back to the onion and leeks, but into bondage, instead of saying, okay, I'm, you know, trusting God in this and pushing, just kind of trusting his that he is up to something, even when it feels like I'm just eating a lot of manna every day.
Oh, right.
You know,
right. Yes.
So when I think of this idea of God calling me on a quest, I think he's calling me primarily to trust him, even when some of the excitement has worn off, that the destination is good.
Wow, that's such a great point, Danny, because when we think about adventure, we're so clued into movie adventures that it's like 2 hours of excitement.
Right.
And the quests God calls us on have these moments of exhilaration, these moments of fear, but there's this tremendous amount of where you just persevere.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep at it. You don't give up. You just keep pressing.
Yeah.
And that theme is all throughout the scriptures.
It is.
And, you know, the great adventures are those where, you know, you persevere, you slog, and all of a sudden these tremendous breakthroughs.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just kept, you know, thinking it's going to be a breakthrough every day or just exciting, right. You know, you never get there.
Right.
Yeah. This is great to listen to y'all's feel for this.
Movies have the advantage of being edited.
That's right.
They edit the routine.
Life edited.
Boredom out.
That's right.
They edit all the bathroom breaks out.
My life as a movie would be a best teller, but, you know, best hit, but, you know, living it is another thing.
That's right. That's right. Oh, wow. Well, let's talk about our own sense of what we think our quest is right now a little bit. And I'll start. I want to make just a couple of comments here, because this is really where I am. This is where my life is right now. And I was a high school teacher and coach for 20 years full time. What a steady, safe, known, secure environment. It was a wonderful ministry. It was an amazing ministry for 20 years. And, you know, watched both my daughters go to school there, grow up there, taught them. You know, life was just a real simple. And I always knew I was supposed to stay there until both my daughters graduated. And, you know, Heidi worked in the kitchen there. I mean, it was kind of all of the family. It was just all right there. And then when my youngest daughter, Rachel, graduated, it's just like the wheels fell off. It's just like, I know I'm not supposed to be here. Mm. And then all of this sort of like, I had this sense of, I've been working with men, I've been writing, I didn't know where any of this was going to go. I've been working some with fathers and sons, but I could feel that, like at Quetico, that initial fear of, you mean I'm going to have to jump out of a known salary and a known, you know, group of men and women that I've worked with and a known community, and just, I'm going to have to leave it all? And there was this push-pull inside of me for the longest time, just like, I knew I was supposed to do it, but I just couldn't push the button. I couldn't pull the lever. And the breaking point came one time after spring break. I came back and taught. It was the day after spring break, and of course, it's usually a terrible day at school anyway. Nobody wants to be there. And it was a terrible day, and I was so frustrated with students. And I went biking that afternoon, and I just sensed the Lord telling me, I was just kind of complaining, and I just sensed the Lord telling me, in kind of this tone of voice, as best as I remember, Bill, it's time. And that's all. And I was just like, you're right, it's time. I just have to go. And I remember thinking, I'm pulling the lever. I'm pushing the button. I'm going to go. And I told my administrators, I'm leaving. Next year's my last year. And I'm burning bridges. And I'm just going to go. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to go. And I've been out in this ministry now for almost 2 years, and it's been better and harder than anything I could have imagined. And I have no regrets. It's just been a huge growth thing for me. And the more I step into it, the more clarity I get about what I'm supposed to do. But you don't, it's like Indiana Jones on that bridge scene, you know, where he's got to cross the chasm, the leap of faith. You don't see it until you take the step. So anyway, that's my sense of quest right now.
I think for me, it's requiring me to ask myself on a regular basis, what do I really, really want?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Because if I ask myself, what do I want? It's often things that initially the answer is something that's just real comfortable. You know, I want more sleep. I want a good meal. Mm-hmm. I want a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. But if I ask myself what I really want, and I start to see that, again, like the onions and leeks and bondage, that all the sleep, all the wine, all the good food, and 100 other things, as we have talked about idols and those kinds of things, you know, all of that stuff in the world doesn't have the power to stir something in me that this whole idea of quest does. And so wrestling with, what do I really want? I find in that question the courage to step forward sometimes and leave behind the things that are comfortable to kind of follow God into the unknown.
Well, yeah, that's I certainly resonate with that. It's certainly been the parallel in my journey. Yeah. Carter, what about you? What's your own sense of quest?
That's interesting. As I was listening to you guys, I've been involved in a local church for numbers of years, and as the church has evolved and grown, it's needed different kinds of leadership. And my quest now really is growing as a leader in a growing organization and becoming something that I was not when I started out on the quest of pastoring a church. It needs a different kind of pastor 15 years into it than it did when we began.
Right, right.
And that kind of growth and change for me has been a personal quest, or if you will, a personal quest and a professional quest. I think I would define my quest as my basic passion is to help people connect with their own quest with God. Their own relationship.
Wow.
Because I think one of the beauties, of course, that you try to bring out in your book is everybody's got a quest. When God calls, it's on a quest. And that will bring a man or a woman.
Right.
It'll bring a person alive.
Yeah.
And I love to help guys connect with that kind of vision
for their lives.
They come alive.
They really do. And, yeah. and I'm seeing, just in my own experiences, you guys, I'm seeing people who are wandering, lost, wondering, you know, looking for somebody to take care of them, mm-hmm. feeling entitled, losing hope, losing heart. And I think there are a number of factors that the enemy has brought together to cause people to lose heart.
Yeah.
And so I love to be involved in calling men to something higher. And that is actually part of my own quest to do that.
Right.
So
Right. It sounds like you're almost trying to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi to some younger Luke yourself, you know? Mentoring them, calling them out.
That's ultimately true of us all.
Yeah.
That's more a mission and admission that I'm getting older now. I still see myself as Luke when I look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing Obi-Wan, even though you are. So.
Yeah. You don't have the beard quite yet.
Oh, I don't. That's coming. Yeah. That's coming. Y'all, thank you, Carter and Daniel. Thank you so much for just sharing your heart in this. And
does it have to be over?
Yeah, it has
this
to be over.
This has been fun.
It has been good. It's been a great ride. This is our last recording, our last conversation. And so I want to let you know that if you want some more help in navigating through the landmarks besides just these conversations, there are videos online. And they will be actually growing. There's 3 online right now, but they're little 2-minute videos about the landmarks and just introductions to them, as well as some other helps.
Buy the book and read it.
There are also some other helps in terms of discussion and journaling online. You get them at the ministry website at landmarkjourneyministries.com. That's all for now. This is Bill Delvo. Thank you for joining us.